earlier. But the title is going to be The Bottomless Pit is Opened. Amen. So I got the slides. Elf Way go up there, fire burning and all of that. And so here we are, Revelation 9, one of the most misunderstood chapters in all the Bible. And the reason why is because a lot of people, they want to go into this chapter and they want to make each and everything in it mean something. They want to be able to tell you exactly what it is. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of this that John uses pictures. But the reason why he does do that is because the things that he is seeing are in the future, and he'd never seen anything like it. They could be helicopters, they could be drones, it could be any of that. And all of that is fine to argue over all that, I guess, but let's see what they do and how they impact men, all right? But it's literally these beasts are coming out. Verse number one, I won't say Romans, but it's Revelation. Revelation 9, verse number 1. I'll get it here in a moment. And let's begin. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." We kicked that around a lot last week and describing who that was, who we thought it was, and then we had a long conversations out in the hallway after it was all said and done about it. And many of us, after looking at and talking about it, really is a good indication this is an angel that's sent down. And because an angel has the key later on in the book of Revelation, and I know several people, in fact, several of the commentaries that I read after, and I really trust them on a lot of things. They'll tell you this is Satan or one of Satan's demons. And then I know other men that say, no, this is just simply an angel. Whichever one it is, that this angel opens up the bottomless pit. And out of this pit, out of this abyss, come some demonic angels, demonic beasts, demonic beings that are even more fierce than the ones that are already here. Demonic beings don't have a shape necessarily because they're spiritual beings, but apparently they take on some type of shape. And that's what John is describing. Amen. I'll get it all this together. I have a lot of stuff. I crammed a lot of stuff in my mind a while ago. I was just reading another book about this chapter, and it kind of sent my mind on a new tangent, and I thought, I don't need to go there. I need to stay right here. Verse number 2, let's see what happens. "He opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men," here's an interesting little side note here, it says, "but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." So apparently, during the tribulation time, there are going to be people that have the mark of the beast, the mark on the back of their hand or on their forehead, but that is just really a takeoff of what God does whenever someone is saved. Apparently, he seals them in their forehead. And I don't know if it's something that another believer can see. If you read after Tim LaHaye, how many of you ever read all of the Tim LaHaye books about the end times? If you haven't, you ought to. It's really some neat stuff, great fiction, but a lot of truth in there. There'll be a couple things that you'll say, I don't agree with that. That's fine. But it really opens up your mind to some things that are going on. And but he talks in those books, he describes it that believers can see that mark, but unbelievers cannot. Well, how many of you have ever been talking to someone that claimed to be a believer, but there just wasn't that? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You were just talking to them, and you're like, or you walked away from it thinking, I don't know. But how many of you have ever been talking to someone, and they never even told you a believer, but your spirit just resonated with theirs? There's something about that. So there's a mark of some type anyways, but evidently there's going to be a seal on their forehead in the tribulation time. And it says, to them it was given, talking about to these locusts now, these demonic beings that are risen out of the bottomless pit, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days, shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Boy, take a moment and think about that. Think about people want to die, but they can't. Could this mean that they try to commit suicide, but it doesn't kill them? I wonder if somebody tries to jump off of a building, and what happens? It crushes their body, it destroys their body, their function to move and all of that, but they still live. For 5 months, if we take this literally, and I always think that's the best way to take Revelation, is literally first. If we take this literally, for 5 months, there will not be one single funeral in all the world. Death will escape men. Even right now, people desire death to a certain point, a hope of escape. But right now, during this time in tribulation, it'll be multiplied many times worse, and they'll try to escape through death, and God won't even allow them to do that. It says in verse number 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse number 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Greek tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. The word Apollyon or Abaddon, they both mean destroyer. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. You know, I have to go back to verse number 13 of chapter number 8, and it says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. We're seeing the woes happen right here. There are woes. First of all, Amber, let's see if I can punch where we need to be at. We're dealing with, not a fallen personality, back up, a horrible personality. If we believe that this is a satanic being, which after last week, and we talked about that, and I prayed about it a lot this last week, and I don't necessarily believe it's Satan anymore. I believe it's just an angel that came down. But if it was Satan, the Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Lucifer is the shining being, the great dragon. He is the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. And during the tribulation period, he's going to be released to a certain extent. He's going to be allowed to attack men, and he's going to do that in every way that he can. Here in this chapter, we see that angel coming down. And I want to get past all that, Amber. Let's go all the way to here, if it'll pick it up, to point number 2. Put me on there if you can, and then we'll start from there. So last week we talked about a horrible personality. This week I want to talk about a horrible place. Horrible place. In verse number 2, notice, he opened the bottomless pit. I was reading about this, and one of the writers said this. This verse tells us just how close men are to hell. One turn of the key, and hell is unleashed upon earth. I never thought about that. Man is just one breath away. A lost man is just one breath away from hell. How close a lost person is to dying and going to hell forever and ever. It's a horrible place. In this verse, we see that it is called a bottomless pit. The word here is the same word that we get well, like a deep well. So apparently it's a deep place. When the angel turns his key and opens the pit, he is literally opening the shaft that leads to hell. Science denies it. Lost men deny it. Human reason denies it. But there is a place under the earth called hell. It was not created for men. It was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself because God doesn't desire that men would die and go to hell. He desires that all men would be saved. But there literally is a place. The souls of lost people suffer and will suffer in the fires of hell. If you read throughout the Word of God, you see that apparently there were some angels, and if you were read back in the book of Genesis, where is it? Genesis chapter 6, maybe if you want to go back that far. But there's two places in the New Testament that deal specifically with this. One of them is in 2 Peter chapter 2, where it deals with fallen angels that have been chained up. Apparently, they violated their position. Even as demons, they were too wicked to be let loose on the earth. So God chained them up. Peter writes about it, says, "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Jude says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." There is a place today where fallen angels are literally chained at. And they'll be there forever and ever. It's a deep place. But also, even though there's fire, it's a dark place. Dark. Have you ever been in a place that was covered with smoke and how dark it was? Just the darkness. We're told that the smoke ascends out of this pit, and the smoke is so great that it literally obliterates the light of the sun. Notice in verse number 2, and watch this description. He says, He opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Everywhere that the devil is a part of, there's always darkness. Always darkness. There's fire and there's darkness. One of the most clear descriptions that we have of hell in the New Testament is in Luke 16, where the rich man goes. By the way, it's not a parable. It's literally a true story. It's a narrative. And in that, it says the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he talks about the fires and the flame and all of that that goes on. You read about it in 2 Thessalonians. The Bible says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." You read about it in Revelation, and he talks about this fire and these flames and this smoke and this torment. It's a dark place, but I guess I could say along with that thought is it's a disturbing place. We read about hell, and it ought to trouble us. It ought to trouble us to know that even right now today, there are people that are crying out in hell. Now, they're not crying for repentance. There's no indication of that in the Word of God. When a lost man dies without God and he is thrown into hell, his hatred to God grows that much more intense. There is no repenting people. There are no repenting people in hell. There's nobody that's saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus, save my soul." Because, my friends, if there were, God's mercy would command that he save them. But he doesn't. Because people don't do that. You read about it over and over in the Word of God. Especially in the Revelation. Whenever men are brought under judgment in Revelation and end times, they hate God even more and they get madder and madder and madder. Can I use that phrase? Madder and madder and madder at God. They don't turn and say, "Oh, I fall on your forgiveness." No, no. And once they're cast into hell, it's all over with. And there's no love there. There's just hatred there and bitterness and anger. It's a disturbing place. It ought to disturb us tonight that hell even exists. It ought to disturb us that some of those we love dearly are going to die and go there unless they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's also a demonic place. Demonic. Because it's a demonic place, because it's a disturbing place, because it's a dark place, because it's a deep place, the demons don't want to go there, the ones that are here. You remember reading in the New Testament on several occasions, Jesus had encounters with demon-possessed men and he would cast them out. What was one of the things that they asked him to do? Don't throw us into the deep. They were fearful of that place. In fact, one of the verses found in Luke 8:31, it says they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. They said, let us hang out here. They didn't want to go. The Bible tells us that eventually, and this is the good part, all right, eventually the beast, the Antichrist, and the devil himself will be cast into there forever and ever and ever. But they also, apparently, we have demons that are coming out, demonic beings, but later on, I think it'll be about Revelation 11, we'll read that the beast and those guys, they ascend out of here also. So it's a horrible place. Horrible. But let's see what these guys do when they come out. What they do is they inflict pain and punishment. We'll call it a plague, if you will. We could call it a horrible punishment. We'll just call it a plague. A horrible plague. When the abyss is open and demonic beings come out, apparently they've been reserved unto judgment. Well, who's being judged? Lost men, nation of Israel. Look at it, verse number 3. There came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Imagine with me if every prison door in the whole world was opened. There's some evil men that are behind bars today. I know, very evil. Well, we have a little touch of it. Look, the guy up there in Wisconsin recently. You know, he'd been arrested a couple times, let out on a no bail offense and all that. What did he do? Demonic possession caused him to run over people that were walking in a Christmas parade or a Thanksgiving parade. I don't know which one it was. But over people that were in a parade with his vehicle. I'm going to tell you something. That is nothing but demonic. There's no other way to describe that. But can you imagine all of the convicted murderers, all of the convicted rapists, all the serial killers, the criminally insane, all of them are allowed to walk free. Those that don't get elected to public office, you guys get that, amen? But can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine right here? Monday and Tuesday, I drove down to Dallas, Texas and back. And as I did, I drove through Illinois, and Illinois has several prisons on the southern end. Big, large prisons. As I drove by there, I was wondering, where's the sign? Because I remember driving past the prison in Florida, and there used to be a sign beside the road, do not pick up hitchhikers. Well, duh. But, you know, driving past that, and then I didn't see that. I thought, man, we're living in such a kinder, gentler world. We don't even want those bad guys to know that they're bad guys. They're just... But can you imagine if that was opened up? If they were allowed to come back on the streets, the chaos that would happen. These demonic beings have been locked up in hell for several thousand years. They're cut loose for a little bit. Imagine the chaos. They do not harm plant life, but they torment humans. The Bible, John describes them as locusts, but that is one time that we have to say these are not literal locusts because their description is something different. I think the reason why he calls them locusts is because of the number of them. If you've ever seen any videos or pictures of how locusts go across a field or a country, billions of them at one time. And it's overwhelming, the sheer numbers of them. So that could be. We know they're not literal locusts because it says they have a king. Well, in Proverbs 30, verse number 25, it talks about the different little beasts, the ants and all of that. Then it specifically says the locusts have no king. So these are not real locusts. But I want you to notice with me, let's see, is this one going to come up or not? The power that they possess. Look at it, verse number 3 and 4. We've already read 3. Look at it, verse number 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So they do not come for the plant life, but for human life. They only sting those who are unsaved. So the 144,000 other believers are protected from this painful attack. So we see the power they have, but then also the pain that they produce. Pain. Literal pain. I was about 15 years old. Might have been 14, somewhere around in there. 14, my family was having a get-together at our house, and there was probably 30 people there. And I remember there was a bunch of kids that were there, me and my brother. I had several of my cousins there and several others. And we were sitting in one of the rooms in our home, and I grew up in a house. Well, after I became a teenager, we moved out to a house on our ranch, and it was a large house. And so the room that we were in was in the end of the house, and it was probably looked like a two-car garage that had been enclosed. It was the game room, and we had a pool table and a ping-pong table in there. And so everybody was in there, but at this point it was kind of later on, so we were all just kind of sitting around, cutting up and talking. And then all of a sudden, on the back of my leg, right behind my knee, came one of the most intense pains that I've ever felt. And then it hit right a little bit farther up, and that thing was traveling up my leg. I didn't know what it was, but here I was in front of about 15 people, several girls that were there, and I just tore my pants right off my body. It was a scorpion. And it had gotten in my pants leg, and it was climbing up, and it started stinging me with its tail. And I want you to know something. There I am, had my pants off, beating that thing. I had my knife out, and I cut that dude into 500 pieces. And I was crying and mad and hurting, and finally I realized I don't have any pants on, so I put them back on. And but the welt and the pain lasted for about 4 hours. It was nearly unbearable. It was one of the worst pains that I've ever had. I could not imagine 5 months of that type of pain. The pain that they produce. Isn't it interesting that it says 5 months? You say, why 5 months? 5 months is the lifespan of a typical locust. In real life, a locust usually only lives for about 5 months. If they are, you know, they come out in swarms between May and September of the year. So that's free, by the way. I read that and I thought, that's kind of interesting. So, but the pain inflicted upon men will be unimaginable. Every moment of every day, those demons will be there, tormenting, stinging, causing pain and suffering. There'll be no escape. Men will try everything. They'll try all of the opioids. They'll try alcohol, no doubt. They'll try drugs in every way. They'll take pills. They'll take potions. They'll take herbal remedies. They'll take essential oils, everything. And none of it will work for 5 long months. And then I read this, and I copied and pasted this, and it says, in our day, people flee death. They do everything they can to stave off death's coming. Doctors are consulted, pills are consumed, and everything that can be done is done to extend life for a moment more. But in this day, men will pursue death in an effort to be free from their pain. People will leap from buildings, crushing their bodies upon the ground, still not be able to die. People will drink deadly poisons and ravage their vital organs, and shall not be able to escape. Others will place guns in their temples and attempt to kill themselves, but they will only succeed in adding more misery to their torment. People may try to kill their loved ones to help them escape, but to no avail. For 5 months, there will be no funerals on earth. Death will take a holiday while men endure the pain and suffering inflicted on them by this demonic invasion. You know, there are people out there who say, I don't believe them. I don't believe that. You know what I guess we have to tell them? Read it again. Read it again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If we get a hold of that and believe that, then all the rest of it falls right into place. In those days, men shall seek death. It says in verse number 6, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Let's describe them a little bit. Let's read this portion. Just touch on a couple of these things, and I think we'll stop, right? Of course, that'll probably take us all the way to the end anyways. Verse number 7. It says, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. They resemble mighty war horses. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means that they were like unto horses prepared unto battle. I don't know. Are they some kind of flying vehicle? Do they look like a flying horse? I tease Ashley, Ellie, all the time because she likes unicorns. I said, you mean a horse with a horn? And she says, no, a unicorn. I said, a unicorn is a rhinoceros. If you really want to get biblical about it, a rhinoceros is a unicorn in the Word of God. There's no other animal's got a horn in the middle of their head except for rhinoceros. But still, but they've made mythical everything. No, Papa, I mean a unicorn. I said, you mean a horse with a horn? And so the other day she came in and I said, oh, you got on your unicorn shirt. She said, you mean horse with a head, horse with a horn. I said, you got it. So we're getting there. Right? But these are arrow horses. John, now listen and think about this. John is seeing this. He's seeing this stuff 2,000 years ago. He's never seen some of the things that we've seen in our lifetime. He's never seen a Hollywood movie. Thank goodness for that probably. He's never seen the war, the pieces of war and the destruction that we can cause today. They had bows and arrows back then. They didn't have guns. They didn't have the firepower we have today. So he describes it in a way that he understands. Notice it says in verse number 7, horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like unto gold. Boy, think with me for a moment. Satan doesn't stop anywhere. What is a crown a symbol of? Conquerors. Really? They're mocking God even at this point. No medicine or act of science can conquer them because they truly do come as conquerors for 5 months. The Bible says that they had their faces were as the faces of men. This could speak of their intelligence. It could speak of their expressive faces. But truth of the matter is, these beings have no mercy. No mercy. It says in verse number 7, or verse number 8, they had hair as the hair of women. One of the writers that I read after says this, They are attractive to people. It may be that they have some kind of seductive charm that lures their victims. What are some of the things today that has a pretty covering on it and people are attracted to them? Once they get caught up in it, it destroys them. Pornography, you can think of that. Most of the occult and demonic things today, Satan doesn't come dressed as he really is. He comes dressed as something different. To pull in. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see over and over again as that's described. It says, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. One writer said this. It says, well, they had hairs, the hair of women, and their teeth were like teeth of lions. What's different about that? I'm just seeing if y'all are listening. Amen. All right. But teeth of lions. Have you ever watched some of those shows that have the animals on it that kill each other? You know what group I dislike the most? I don't like hyenas. I really don't. Hyenas, they don't work. They hang out and wait for somebody else to do the work, and then they come in. They make me so. If I was on the African plane, I would spend all my time shooting hyenas. I would. I'd be a great hyena. I'd just shoot those jerkers left and right. I hate those guys. They're so ugly and wicked looking. And I'm not really a cat lover either, because you can't trust a cat. You let that cat get, that jerker might scratch you, might bite you. Oh, they're evil looking. But I can't imagine one being 600 pounds. You look at some of the fangs and some of the teeth on those animals. They say that if you get bit by a lion or a tiger or a leopard or something in that category, that the pain never goes away because of the amount of bacteria and all on those teeth and how deep it drives in whenever they bite you. A lion's teeth is not only dangerous because of what it does, but it's infectious. Teeth like a lion. It says, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. Idea here is that they were probably invulnerable to attack. It couldn't destroy them. There's also another thought here. They were totally insensitive to people's feelings. They attacked without mercy. Can you imagine? Whatever this being is, whenever it stings, the pain is for 5 months. I wonder if they just go around and sting everybody one time or if it's a continuous attack for 5 months. In my mind's eye, I think it's a continuous attack. I could be wrong. But can you imagine? The pain maybe lessens a little bit and then you see them coming back and you're screaming for mercy. Breastplate, hardness of heart. Men will scream in their pain and beg for mercy, but it'll not touch the heart of these beings. And then it says, and they have wings. Wings, the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They're swift. They're able to surround and capture their prey with ease. I tell you, in today's world, these sound like drones. They really do, you know. 20 years ago, we didn't have the drones. Now you can buy a drone on Amazon and fly it and take pictures and all that. But have you ever heard a drone buzzing? Man, that thing sounds fierce. And he goes on, it says there were stings. Then verse number 10, it says they had tails like unto scorpions. I already told you my scorpion tail. And I want you to know, I never want to be stung by a scorpion again. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a capability to inflict pain. And I got an idea that it brought a certain pleasure to them to do it. Verse number 11 is where we know that they're not literally locusts, like locusts that we know of today, because it said they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Well, apparently that angel has been locked up all this time. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. I wondered for a long time, why does the Bible give us both a Hebrew and a Greek name? Could it be that this means that whether you're an unsaved Gentile, Greek, or an unsaved Jew, Hebrew, that you're going to be attacked? That only the seal of God is going to protect you, not your nationality, not your birth? Just a thought. I don't know. But what would it be like to awaken one morning and there's this creature in your room? People can laugh off this. You know what these 11, 10 verses here describe? Demons. Demons. Demonic beings. It describes the destruction, the pain,
the hatred that they have for human beings. People will laugh this off. People today in our world will call us fools for believing this. You know, there was a time when the bubonic plague was going through Europe. By the way, that was a real plague. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people died. You know what they thought was causing the bubonic plague? There were several things, but one of the main things was, get this, they thought fresh air was doing it. Fresh air. That's how, look, you can deceive people. Don't think that this whole deception over what's going on in our world today is a new one. But the bubonic plague, they thought that fresh air. So what did they do? If you went into a town, the most putrid smells would be there. They would burn whatever they could to keep a steady layer of smoke. They fired cannons constantly in areas to keep the smoke up. If you would have gone into a town and told them, hey, this is caused by something that comes off of a flea, they would have laughed you out of there and probably would have hung you. People didn't believe it back then, what was really causing it. Right here in this chapter, I got an idea that people are going to be deceived what this really is. I wonder who they're going to blame for their pain. I wonder who they're going to get mad at. Yeah, amen. It's the next variant of COVID. Next one is called communism, by the way. But who are they going to blame? Probably those poor fellows have got the seal of God in their forehead. Do you think the hatred for Christians at this point is going to increase a little bit? Do you think the hatred toward God is going to increase a little bit? You better believe this. The bottomless pit is opened. Oh, I am so glad. I cannot even begin to express how glad I am that whenever that angel comes down to open that thing up, I'll be locked up in a far better place. But my friend, this is real. This is not some kind of fictitious writing. Everything else in this book is true. This too is absolutely true. And people that we work with, people that we know, people that we don't even know, are going to die and go here. God, help us this week in our prayer life. God, help us this week in our outreach. God, help us to live like Christians, because my neighbor, your co-worker needs to see Jesus in your life. There are going to be a lot of good people that are going to go to hell. Good people, fine people, honorable people. But they've rejected Jesus. God, help us to reach them. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We ask